Ladies and gentlemen, you are now entering the Decent Christian Talk podcast. Enjoy.
Decent Christian Talk, episode 23.
What's up?
It's my favorite number.
23.
I grew up being a Michael Jordan fan, so that's been my favorite number for a long time. Some of you LeBron James fans are like, what? That's LeBron's number.
No.
Okay. Anyway, hey guys, thank you for joining us. We've got a lot of new listeners since this past summer, pretty much. Since we started doing this podcast regularly. If you don't know, you can check us out on iTunes, Decent Christian Talk Podcast. We're on YouTube, we're on SoundCloud. You can go to decentchristiantalk.com, subscribe to us with your email address through there. You can even give us a nice little donation if you'd like, because, hey, these things cost a little money. We would appreciate your help. And, of course, our Twitter account, at DC Talk Act 2, and we're on Facebook as well. But hey, we are here in the bowels of autumn.
Nice fall weather.
Yeah, we have finally experienced the leaves changing and
the rain coming down.
The cold rain that I can't stand, and I'm surprised I'm not sick, but
the wind blowing very coldly.
Yeah. I don't mind colder weather, but that wind just kills me. Mm. Especially when it's got cold rain attached to it.
Yeah.
Hey guys, thank you for joining us. Just like you, hopefully you have each and every week. If you're new, thanks for joining us. Hey, we have been really busy recently, before we get to that, there's been some new music that's come out recently that we should touch upon first. Disciple released their new album, Long Live the Rebels. It is up there with one of my favorite rock albums of the year. And we'll touch upon maybe my favorite rock album of the year later in this show. Because we are going to be joined by Thrice's Dustin Kensrue later. And that's a conversation that you don't want to miss. He's got some interesting perspectives. He's been through a lot, especially with the Mars Hill breakup. So, and we talk a little bit about that, so you don't want to miss that. But the Disciple album is very good. It's up there with the Thrice album. Disciple's been around. How long have they been around?
They've been around as long as I can remember.
Yeah. It's been since the late 90s. We actually got to talk to them at Creation. If you haven't heard that podcast, let's scroll back a little bit and find that on our webpage. They really brought the noise for this one. They didn't scale back at all. I think it's I really like the title track. I really like some of the things that they've done. You know, they've always been one of those bands that young fans can enjoy, but also, like, our dad loves them because he kind of reminds them of some of the stuff that some of the 80s
Striper
and bands used to do, just kind of harmonizing guitars and those kinds of things. But that's an album that is really worth checking out. If you're into hip-hop, Sho Baraka just dropped a bomb this past weekend that I cannot stop listening to. I can't say I've always been a Sho Baraka fan, but this album, I think, is one of the best rap albums I've heard in a long time. That along with Bizzle, he released a new album, and believe it or not, this past weekend, Sho Baraka, Bizzle, and NF, who released that album in the springtime, were all three in the iTunes top 10 rap albums.
Wow.
And that's pretty significant. I think that is the album of Sho Baraka is called The Narrative, and I think the fact that they are pressing against the culture and doing so successfully is really changing the narrative in a way that is beneficial. And we've talked about CCM music and how that's been watered down over the years,
yeah,
especially on radio.
Mm-hmm.
But in that absence of good quality pop music, there's been that hip hop that has really sprung out,
thriving, yeah,
and has been beneficial. What are some rap artists that you like?
I enjoy Lecrae.
He put out a single this weekend too.
Yeah, he's on tour right now with the Destination Shore tour. Don't know when that album's going to drop, but
I would say probably early next 2017.
Yeah,
but you never know with him. He doesn't really.
No.
I mean, he's a guy that's like, okay, my album's going to drop next week.
Yeah. Check out my album. It just popped up on iTunes yesterday. NF. I really enjoy NF. His latest album is really good. He's always hitting hard on the tough things to talk about.
Yeah.
Very deep.
That song
lyrics.
About his mom was insane.
Very emotional. Very in your face with lyrics. He's got some really good beats and upbeat music too as well. But those are probably my two favorites.
Seeing him this year at Creation, that was the first time I saw him. And I'm not always sold on an artist till I see him live.
Yeah, same here.
And he did the job.
Yeah.
He's incredible.
Very hype, very high energy the whole time on stage. Very into his music.
And he's actually already working on his third album, and I think he actually has already dropped a single that's going to be on that
really
recently. So I guess he's going to be one of those guys that just cranks out albums, and I'm okay with that pretty much. Now there's a couple metal albums that this is your area of expertise. Do you want to talk about those?
The two latest ones have been maybe a little bit further back. Norma Jean, Polar Similar.
Yeah.
Very heavy album. Very, very good. The first week or two I listened to it, it was competition against Thrice for, I think, album of the year, for my opinion. I still think Thrice edges them out, but it's a very good album. Lyrically, there's a little bit of controversy there. There's a little bit more cursing than what some people would like, but I think it's very good, very bass driven, very, heavy. And also, The Devil Wears Prada just released an album called Transit Blues. This album is very interesting. I think The Devil Wears Prada is really good at putting front-to-back albums staying with the same theme, and this time it's just kind of about like a road trip, or kind of about traveling, and the music is very good. This album is a little bit different from them than previous stuff. I think it sounds a little bit more like Under Oath, more ambient driven, more somber, heavier, kind of a just like a slower, heavier feel to it than the upbeat pace that they typically keep. But I think it's really good. At first, I kind of questioned it the first couple of listens, but I've been listening to it nonstop, probably at least 10 times now, and it's a great album to check out.
While we are on the topic of metal, Matty Montgomery from For Today just released a book called Lovely Things in Ugly Places, and we're going to talk a little bit about that book later on, hopefully, because we don't want to give too much away, but check that book out in the meantime. It's really good. I'm almost done with it. And that's all I'm going to say about it. But it's very good.
Check it out.
And we're going to talk about that on a later podcast. There's a couple albums that are going to come out in the next week or so. This Friday, The Digital Age, which is David Crowder's old band, is releasing their, I think this is their second full-length album, called Galaxies. And I love those guys. I actually got to talk to them sometime last year, I think. It's been a while, but there's a couple other albums. The Brilliance, which, if you're familiar with Gunger, this is the vocalist's brother. and I really enjoyed the Brilliance's last album. So I'm hoping that this is another great album. If you like Gunger, you'll like the Brilliance. That's all I can tell you. And then Wolves at the Gate, another metal band that you like. Types and Shadows, I actually like them too. The acoustic EP that they released last summer. I'm usually like, when a metal band releases an acoustic EP, I'm like, okay, this is not going to be any good.
Not a good idea.
but that was really good.
Yeah.
They changed it up. They added some vocalists to it. Toby from Emery, a couple other guys. I think they're one of my favorite
metal bands. I'm really excited for that, because their latest album was super good, so...
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a couple other albums coming out soon we'll talk about later on. But, like I said, we've been busy lately because we've been going to some shows and just, you know, having a blast.
Some very, very, very good shows.
So we went to... I just want to go back a little bit because on my... 29th birthday, Reliant K came to Pittsburgh, and they were on the 10th anniversary tour, where they played that album completely through. Yes. And so, the funny thing is, they came to Pittsburgh this year on our other brother's birthday, Josiah, who's not here with us today.
Shout out to Josiah.
But, you know, I thought that was cool that they've been here for both of our birthdays. These months not really care about you yet.
Not yet.
but they were on tour, and they with Switchfoot. Switchfoot was the headliner. The Looking for America tour.
Yep.
And this was, you know, it's not every day you get two heavyweight bands that tour together and do full-length sets.
Both of them played, I think, at over 15 songs.
Yeah. Both of them played over an hour and a half.
Yes.
It was totally worth the trip up. You know, for me, Switchfoot's newer stuff obviously resonates more with me than Reliant K's newer stuff. But to hear them play their newer stuff live, it has made me appreciate some of their stuff a little more.
Yeah.
Except for the Cleveland Browns song that they do, because...
Go Steelers.
We're Steeler fans. I have to say, it takes some stones to play that song...
In Pittsburgh.
Right next to Heinz Field, where the Steelers play.
Yes.
So, we have seen these bands... How many times do you think we've seen these bands?
I've honestly lost count. Definitely over 10 times each.
What about these bands live is just special?
Man, I think they just have a really good connection with each other. They've been playing with each other for, I mean, a long, long, long time.
Yeah.
So they have some good cohesiveness, they have great stage presence, and just along with that, since they've been doing it for so long, they're able to just have fun on stage, able to connect with the crowd really well. They put on great light shows. Their music is just super good live. It's just kind of like sitting back and getting to enjoy something spectacular.
It's kind of like a family reunion when you go to these shows.
Yeah.
Because you've known these guys, not known them, but you feel like you know them.
Yeah, I mean,
because they put their heart on their sleeves with their songs, and it's like, but they're not a nostalgia act either, because they're still putting out good music. With Reliant K, you know, a lot of their older stuff still resonates with me a little more than their newer stuff.
Yeah.
One of the best moments of the whole night was when they played Deathbed and John Foreman came out.
Yeah,
and sang his part on that. If you guys don't know that song, you have to go look that up.
Really good song. It was cool to see them play the newer stuff that I hadn't really heard as much, but then when they played their older stuff, the whole crowd
sang along.
I mean, he could have turned the mic around for pretty much 90% of their set, and the crowd just, like, you could hear them super well. It was cool.
Yeah, it's unique to see. Not that Stage AE is a small venue, but we have seen them on both of them and on a larger scale.
Yeah,
in front of crowds close to 100,000 people.
Yeah.
So to be in that setting, it's a little more intimate.
Yeah.
Is really cool because, and I think especially the band appreciates that because they're just in their face with the people,
yeah.
And that's just something that I take away with that. Switchfoot, well, their album is one of my favorites for the year.
Yeah.
And they've played a lot of the new stuff from there. I kind of wish they would have played a little bit more off of that album.
Yeah, I think they played a majority of it, though.
There is a couple songs I wish they could have done on top of that. But, I really wish, John Foreman played Down by the River.
Yeah.
After the show.
We saw his message at, midnight. He's like, I'm down by the river. Come join me.
Yeah, I was already almost home by then.
Yeah.
So, over the years, we have seen these bands play from the beginning stage.
Yes.
I talked about how we've seen them on a larger scale, but we've also seen them when they were playing in front of 50 people,
yeah,
as well, when they were starting out, on the French stage of Creation. At noon.
At noon. 98 degrees, yeah, outside.
It was actually... I actually saw... I think it was Switchfoot the year before The Beautiful Letdown came out.
Mm.
And it was so hot. And they played on the Fringe stage. That was... I remember that was during the Learning to Breathe album. Which was a good album, but it was not... it's not my favorite. So I remember seeing them, and I was like, they're close.
They're close.
But yeah, so it's awesome to see bands like that have been around for so long have the success after all these years, and their songs. I mean, they mean a lot to me, and that's why they've been successful.
Yeah, Switchfoot's part of the show. Of course, you guys know that I'm a huge Switchfoot fan.
Yes.
Definitely didn't disappoint. John was having tons of fun. He came down in the crowd probably four or five times. He crowd surfed for a whole song at one point and just stopped singing. He's just sitting there sorry guys, I'm getting kind of carried away. I just love moments like this, and I tend to forget that I'm supposed to be singing right now. He had another cool moment with the song. I just blanked off the top of my head. He had everyone turn out the lights.
Oh, Dare You to Move, yeah.
And turn on their cell phones, and all the lights in the place were just the cell phone lights, and that was a pretty cool moment. They had a bunch of cool stuff during the show, too, that you normally don't see,
right.
A bubble machine, blowing bubbles everywhere. That was pretty sweet.
I also need to say it was cool to see Mark Townsend. He was accompanying Reliant K. He's a longtime musician. He played with DC Talk back in the day. He played with Steve Taylor. Of course, Zilch. He's produced a lot of great albums over the years. So it was cool to see him live. That's the first time I've seen him since probably 2003 when he was out with Steve Taylor. But that was cool. Speaking of Mark Townsend and DC Talk, did you see that they had a little get-together at the Dove Awards?
I did see that. Pretty interesting.
It's interesting. Obviously, I've been critical of the whole cruise thing.
A cruise?
this is a good start in the right direction. I hope it's not just a blip. I hope it's a sign of things to come. I'm not sure.
Fingers crossed.
I'll be honest, it was a little awkward at times on stage because I think at times those three really didn't know what to do. Yeah. Because, I mean, it's been 15 years since they've shared a stage together. So, yeah. I mean, but, you know, it's cool, and it's something that we can enjoy as fans, I guess. So, yeah, about the other show we went to, we got to go to the Thrice show. Almost a month ago now.
Yeah.
So, we talked about seeing Switchfoot and Reliant K like a dozen times each. This is the first time I have seen Thrice.
First time for me as well.
And I've been a fan of the band for... I was kind of late to the party. I came along for like their last three albums.
Yeah.
And I kind of missed out at the beginning. I don't know why. I just kind of missed it. I don't know. There's no reason at all. Mm-hmm. But like, so, and then of course Dustin did his solo worship stuff kind of in between, kind of like how John Foreman does.
Yeah.
And that's really when I really started enjoying kind of his heart and, you know, just some of the things that he's written over the years. Mm-hmm. Just getting to go back and listen to that and rediscovering some of their older music.
Yeah.
So this is one of those bands that is not a quote-unquote Christian band.
Yes.
And we have gone to experience shows. Like, for instance, 21 Pilots, Mute Math. I mean, there's a lot of bands that...
Switchfoot? Oh, no, yeah.
Kind of. I mean, they don't... I'm talking about bands that, like, don't play even at Christian music festivals.
No.
Which they kind of do. I mean, I guess you could say maybe even... No, I'm not gonna go there. Never mind. but they're one of those bands that... kind of comparable to U2, they have lyrics that are obviously spiritually minded,
yes,
but for some reason still resonates with a secular audience. That's really cool to me, because obviously that crowd that was there was not something that you'd see at a Christian show.
No.
And I'm not talking bad about that. That's just, I've been to secular shows and I've been to Christian shows.
It's just a different atmosphere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Different atmosphere, and, but at the same time, there's still that kind of, hey, this is family kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's something that music does, really. For me, one of the cool things about this show was seeing a lot of people, because this is their first tour since coming back from the hiatus.
Yes, they went on a hiatus in 2012. The last album they put out was 2011.
I can't believe it's been that long.
Yeah, and then they came out with To Be Everywhere Is To Be Nowhere,
which is maybe the album of the year. So
definitely,
just getting to talk to a couple people, just like going in and out of the bathroom and everything. There were people that were, like, freaking out because they, too, were, like, late to the party. They didn't think they'd ever get to see Thrice.
Yeah.
And here they are touring, finally, after a hiatus. And it was something just kind of cool to see. I kind of hopefully would want to see that with a couple bands that I follow. Man, they rock it hard live.
Oh, yeah. They are heavier live than they are on album. And they played a lot
20
of,
songs, I think.
Yeah, they played a lot of the new album. And, man, was it impressive. I'm always kind of skeptical going in to see bands that I haven't seen before. Just because, like Gabe said, I don't really trust a band until I see them live. And they didn't disappoint. I went in with high expectations, and they still exceeded them. Very heavy, very good show. Just has the same professional stage presence, like they've been playing together for years.
Oh, yeah, they sounded tight,
yeah.
For sure.
And the cool thing is that shows how close they are, because this is their first tour back in 3 or 4 years, so...
Yeah. You know, it's always interesting when a band has been far apart from each other. Sometimes they'll come back and they'll be a little watered down. Sometimes they'll come back and there will only be one or two members that come back, and there's like three traveling, kind of how like Reliant K is doing. These guys are still 100% into it and sound great.
Yeah, I mean, you come back and maybe you have like a hit single again, and that lasts for a couple years. But like we talked about, this album front to back, completely good.
And they're not a nostalgia act either. They're not playing music, just old music. The new stuff resonates with people. Yeah. A lot of the new songs, like Black Honey and the Long Defeat or
Hurricane.
Okay, people were singing along with those songs just as much, and that's cool. I love when people sing along. That's one of the best moments.
Yeah.
Okay, so interview with Dustin Kensrue. We talk a lot about the new album. We talk about politics. That's always fun with the election coming up. And
juicy stuff.
Yeah, and we talk about Mars Hill, which is you know, it's kind of a dicey subject, but I kind of wanted to know his perspective on that. So without further ado, here is our interview with Thrice's Dustin Kensrue.
All right, hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
So, Thrice, obviously, they got back together within the last year or so. What was the key to the return? What was it, a timing thing, or what was the main factors with that?
Timing's a big part of it, just in the sense of my kids have gotten a little older, three little girls, so that was a big part of why we took the break, and then just time opening up from on, and I'd wanted to definitely go back to it at some point. I didn't know when that was going to be, and I'd really been missing it during that break. So once those other issues kind of opened up, I started talking to guys about it.
So you did look at it more as a hiatus rather than a breakup?
Yep. Yeah.
That's cool.
It's hard to convince people of that, but we tried to be as clear as possible.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to go away in the music industry for 3 or 4 years is an eternity in the music industry, so I'm sure it felt like a long time for fans anyway.
I think it was definitely necessary for us, and I think really beneficial in the end.
So you guys released To Be Everywhere Is To Be Nowhere this past year, and it's a little bit different for Thrice as far as lyrics is concerned. It's a lot of a political commentary. Did that happen intentionally when you guys got back together? Was that something that you thought you were going to do, or was that just something that happened organically?
I think it's probably the most political record that we've done, but there's definitely a fair amount on other records. For whatever reason, just kind of, I think it goes in cycles. I don't know if that's just me reacting to stuff that's going on in the world. Probably has a lot to do with that, but there's a fair amount on the Alchemy Index. There's a lot on Artist in the Ambulance, but it definitely is I think just has a lot to do with 2015 being a bit crazy and that continuing to 2016 now, but we write fairly kind of heavy, weighty music, just the actual, you know, instrumentation of it as well. So it, I really try to find things that sit with that, that kind of go along with the story the song's already telling, and that, you know, ended up kind of corresponding to a bunch of what was going on around at the time.
Yeah, and one of those songs is called Black Honey. It's one of my favorite songs on the record. And there's a lot of, in the chorus it talks about the stinging bees and how, you know, just how they sting people, that they just, it's kind of like a surprise because they want the honey, but then they get stung. Who would you describe as stinging bees in the culture, that the political culture that we live in today?
I mean, I think you could, people have interpreted that song in a variety of ways, and I think it basically makes sense of any person or organization with narcissistic tendencies having no ability to connect the things that they're doing with consequences of those actions. Initially, the inspiration for the song was just looking at U.S. foreign policy, and kind of we seem to do the same things over and over, and then we're baffled that it creates the same problems. Most people have seen it a lot more, you know, from a personal aspect, where we all, you know, do that to some extent. So.
Sure. Yeah. Another song on the record, Blood on the Sand. I mean, one of the best moments on the record, I think, is at the end of that song where you're just screaming, you're sick of it. And I think that that's one of the best moments because it just sums up the frustration that a lot of people have of today's culture, that you have a lot of people that are supposed to be representing us but don't seem to be. Does that make sense?
I think it's, for me at least, it's kind of just a general frustration with seeing things going, you know, horribly wrong, seeing things that, I think that, you know, it's easy to at times feel like these problems have gone away, or you know, we fix things, and realizing that that's not true. That it's more of a, we try to ignore things at times, but they're always coming back.
What do you think is the most frustrating part of just kind of feeling helpless by that whole situation?
What is the most frustrating part? For me, it's probably seeing people that would say that they believe the things that I believe, but those beliefs don't inform their actions the way that I think that they should. Specifically seeing just Christians acting very unlovingly towards people around them.
Yeah, that's definitely frustrating for me too. As believers, as someone that does profess to follow Christ, what should be our response to that?
To what specifically?
To fellow believers that don't necessarily walk the walk necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's a good question, because you can easily, you know, react to that in the same way that they're reacting to other people. But I really think that having grace for those people that you're frustrated with, and having it be the starting point of conversations and relationships to help change those people's perspectives is going to be pretty big, because we tend to come at those people the same way that they're coming at the things around them with with the law, and the law doesn't change people. It actually encourages them to rebel, to stay in the ways that they're already rebelling. So I think the only realistic thing that's going to help is coming with grace.
How much of the last few years of your life, not getting too much into the Marcel thing, but how much of that did you learn how to treat others with grace in the face of a lot of confrontation and those such?
I mean, I definitely think that's been honed a bit in me in that time, and I think it can look to people around you like something that's futile or pointless or weak or stupid. To give grace to someone who, they would say doesn't deserve it, but the truth is that none of us deserve it in that sense. And if we did, it wouldn't be grace, I guess. So I think you can make hard decisions. You can be firm and resolve about things and still have a gracious heart.
Did that entire Marcel thing, did that change your outlook as far as grace is concerned?
I think that I guess the only way I can really see it is just I feel like I've come out of it with more of a sense of grace and love for people around me in a general sense. I feel like there's a lot of talk about gospel and grace kind of stuff there. I feel like I've seen a lot of ways where that was not really how it functioned. So, there's really good. Well, I would recommend people check out Mockingbird Ministries if they're interested in anything about grace, really. They really nail I think the core of what it means to be gracious to people, and I love what they're doing. If you check it out, mbird.com, they do a bunch of stuff, but their periodicals or like quarterly magazine is super, super cool.
If you could go back in time to where you started with Thrice, and you could tell yourself something that you knew already that would help you at that time, what would you tell early young Dustin?
I would try to encourage myself not to be as arrogantly argumentative. I didn't see it that way at the time, but I feel like I, it's one of the things that I've grown in a fair amount is being able to hear people, hear where they're coming from, and take seriously, you know, what they're feeling, what they've experienced, and not just feel like I have some understanding that, that can put all of that into a box and logically parse it out.
Who are you touring with this fall?
We're out with Law Dispute and Nothing Nowhere is the guy who's kind of doing almost like spoken word hip hop stuff over post rock.
Awesome, man. Well, we hope to see you out there on tour. Hopefully I'll be able to get out to the Pittsburgh show, and thank you so much for your time.
Cool. Cheers, man.
That was our interview with Thrice's Dustin Kensrew. We hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for joining us. I'm not sure what our next show will be.
I don't know.
You'll just have to tune in. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter.
Facebook us.
All that great jazz. Hey guys, thank you for joining us. We will talk to you next time.
Catch you later. Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. Thanks.